Spanish Loops, again on the loop.
Al cabo, Jorge. Hello, what the hell was that?
I don't know, you know, it's a different way to start a chapter. Why not?
Yeah, you're right. It's a new way.
Hello, Francisco. How are you doing?
Doing great. How are you, Jorge?
Not bad. Thank you so much. Just looking forward about we're going to talk today. Many people might be interested in this episode because, Francisco, let us know what we're going to talk about today.
Well, today we're doing our great city specials. And today we're crossing the border. We are going to France. Uh-huh. And we're going to be talking about a city called Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port.
Saint-Jean-de-Pied-de-Port. That sounds to me something related with something that is very much into your almost genetics, that you love it and that you are talking constantly about it.
Something like the Camino de Santiago.
Correct. Yeah, we have a winner. Ding, 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 ding.
Bingo. That's what we're going to be talking today, the beginning of the Camino de Santiago.
Okay, good. Well, Francisco, you mentioned the beginning of the Camino de Santiago, but in fact, there is some other trails around the European continent that it comes and they all merged in that one, in that specific little town in the French side of the Pyrenees. But how come that, how was it declared or who decided that it was going to be the beginning of the Camino de Santiago?
Well, if our listeners have paid attention, we always say that the Camino de Santiago starts at the footstep of your house. And the moment you become a pilgrim, it's when you put your backpack, wherever you are. I can care less if you're in Canada, if you're in the United States, if you are in Norway. That's the moment. But you have to start walking someplace. So on the 20th century, it has been declared, or I would say very informally, the beginning of the Camino de Santiago is Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port.
Was it really on the 20th century?
Yeah, because before people, they would do it always walking. So they would start in Norway or in Finland or whatever. Mm-hmm. On the 20th century, when we have now railroads and you can reach, you know, a starting point, people is when they started coming all the way to here to start the Camino de Santiago.
Uh-huh. But I guess that before it was declared officially the beginning of the Camino de Santiago, probably all those trails that they were merging there by some reason, maybe geographically or the easiest path to go through the Pyrenees?
There you go. Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port, it is the beginning of the Camino de Santiago because the Pyrenees, if we take a look at them from up above all the way on the west, they are very low. As we go to the east, as we go to Barcelona, to the Mediterranean, they go higher and higher and higher. The lowest pass of the Pyrenees, it is Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port.
So that is very close, or geographically talking, very close to the where it is, the Bay of Biscay. Is that right?
There we go. It's right away from the Bay of Biscay.
So you want to go there just to start the very beginning, official beginning of the Camino de Santiago. Let us know a little bit about the history, about the city itself, please. And as usual, you have your famous 90 seconds to make it.
1 minute and a half of the history of Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port.
Go ahead.
Okay, first of all, what about the name Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port? Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port means St. James at the feet of the port. And here we need to make something very clear. In Europe, when we talk a port, it's not a seaport. A port, it is a foothill. It's the beginning of a way up. So St. James at the feet of the hill. Okay, the hill, calling the Pyrenees. The thing is that, as we have said, this pass crossing the Pyrenees, it is the lowest pass of the whole Pyrenee mountain range. Forever and ever and ever, this has been a commercial route. Let's think about it. Right under Spain, we have Africa. All the goods coming from Africa, they had to cross all of Spain. And then they would go through the easier part, the lower part of the Pyrenees, to cross. So all the goods coming from Africa has always gone back and forth through here.
Francisco, could it be something to do, because geographically talking, you very well said just that if you look at the map under Spain, it's Africa, and the path to go into the rest of the continent is maybe by coincidence, I don't know, you know, when the continents were formed. If you look at the map, just the closest point of the Iberian Peninsula is very close to Gibraltar, and then almost in a very vertical way, is that path that you're talking about leading to Saint Jean de Pied-de-Port, maybe because also the route was shorter?
It was the shortest route, exactly. I mean, obviously, first of all, the biggest commercial route is the Mediterranean, but that would touch only the Mediterranean countries. But if you want to export to or the northern countries of Europe, they had to cross through here. So it was the best way. Then when the Romans came, the big traders, this route was assigned by the Romans. Okay, so the Romans, they paved the whole thing and it was perfect. It worked very, very well. But the city of Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port, we need to go all the way back to the 1100s. Okay, at this moment, the Kingdom of Navarra, where I come from, it is considered one of the biggest kingdoms in Europe. And we control both sides of the border. We control the Spanish part, what today is in Spain, and what today is France. Okay, so we control that pass, which is where all the goods, and especially all the people, they were crossing the border. Who were crossing the border especially? The Muslims, the Moors. All Europe is scared of them. So whoever controls this path, if they're Christian, they will not allow Muslims to cross into Europe. So this little town and his sister town on the other side in Spain, called Roncesvalles, they were the ones in charge of not allowing the Muslim Empire to cross all the way into Europe.
So to make it clear, you are meaning that, let's say, if it, you know, very, very roughly, like picturing the map of the Pyrenees, if you divide the Pyrenees in two parts, let's say from the middle of the Pyrenees to the left, west, that was the Christian part, let's put it that way, and then to the right, it was the Muslim part. Is that okay? Regarding the invasion of the Iberian Peninsula by the Arabs, is that right?
Exactly, Jorge.
Good.
So really, the importance of Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port was very big for the politics, but also for the commerce of all Europe. As you can imagine, everybody wants to control this tiny little town. At this moment, we are the Kingdom of Navarra, but we have all of these kings and queens in here that obviously it's very good to have treaties. And we send especially our princesses around. One of these princesses, it is D'Angèle of Navarre, the one who will get married to Richard Lionheart. Part of her dowry was the village of Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port. The thing is that it was a little bit too far, so they didn't care for it, and it came back again to the Kingdom of Navarra. So all of these ups downs are very important. Everything changed a little bit later in time, at the end of the 1400s, beginning of the 1500s. In Spain, we have Isabella and Ferdinand, the Catholic monarchs. When they get married, everybody says that they make Spain. Well, not yet, because they still have two problems. One, the Kingdom of Granada. In 1492, they invade the Kingdom of Granada and they take it to their crown. But they still have one tiny little kingdom at this moment, very small, which is the Kingdom of Navarra.
You troublemakers, you troublemakers.
We are the troublemakers in history here. Yes, you are so right. The thing is that Isabella dies and Ferdinand conquers Navarra in the year 1512. In 1512, Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port becomes part of the Kingdom of Spain. There's a lot of wars between Spain and France, France and Spain. To top all of this part, this on the other side of France, of the Pyrenees, we decide to become Protestants. These are the years of the wars of religion. So here we have Spain Catholic, France Catholic, this lower Navarre, this little part being Protestant. So there's a lot of wars. Everything settles down in the year 1660, 1660. We have a big, big wedding. Louis XIV, Louis XIV from France, is going to get married to Maria Therese of Spain. And in this marriage, what is settled, it is the borders between Spain and France. In 1660, from the Pyrenees, from the middle of the Pyrenees, north is going to be French, from the middle of the Pyrenees, down south is going to be Spanish. Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port, it is now 100% French.
French territory.
French territory. And from this point on, we go on with the French history. And that was my history of Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port in a minute and a half.
Well, a very extended minute and a half. It looks like if we're in a Star Trek ship going warp speed. Okay.
Well, hey, I try to close it as short as possible.
Fascinating, the story. That's why we always mention and we insist to all our listeners to forget. When we talk about history, forget about borders. They have nothing to do with what they are today. So that is a very good point that you just mentioned your final speech, you know, a few seconds ago, that today Sajan de Pieterport is French. And it is amazing, the scenario just across the border. But we'll talk about that later. Now, Francisco, how do I get there? I mean, just imagine that I'm traveling from wherever in the world. And by the way, you mentioned that, it looks like a tiny little town that is just was there for one purpose, and it was a trading point at the time. But now, something that is on a valley just before crossing the Pyrenees, do they have airports? By all means, they have roads. And I have no idea. Please enlighten us in how we get to that beautiful city.
So the best way for you to get to Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port, it is by train. Okay? You have a SNCF, the national railroads in France. They work very well, and they take you all the way to Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port.
Okay, Francisco, so now we know that the best way to get there is by car, but from where? I mean, how do you get, for instance, let us know, please, which are the closest airports to get to rent a car and then go to this tiny little town in the Pyrenees?
So the closest airports that we have, one is in Spain, which is San Sebastian. And the closest one is in France. It's called Biarritz. From there, you can, less than an hour, Johansson, Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port.
So San Sebastian, you have connections from Madrid. And then to Biarritz, I suppose you're talking about flying from Paris, right?
From Paris. There we go. Exactly.
Okay, perfect.
Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port, to me, it's... Okay, if somebody from Saint-Jean listens to this podcast, probably they will kill me. Well, I wouldn't spend really one night in Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port. So the best way for you to reach Saint-Jean, I would recommend you to get by car, because there are a lot of short rides around Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port that are amazing, beautiful villages that I really recommend you to come by car. That way you can explore the whole area.
Okay, and what about if I just don't fancy renting a car? Is there a way to get there by bus?
Yes, there are also buses coming in the French side. From the Spanish side, if you are in Spain, you can come all the way by bus to Roncesvalles, and then get a taxi that can cross you all the way to Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port. As I said, better if you do it with your own car.
Okay, perfect. Right, so now we have arrived there to Saint-Jean-de-Pied-de-Port. Where are we staying? Do you have any options to stay in the place?
Well, as I said, really to sleep in Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port is not one of the great things you can do, but if you want to spend one night, if you're a pilgrim, yes, you do have 100,000, you have many hostels that you can rent. If you're just a normal tourist, I really recommend you Maison Bernat, Bernat. Okay, the Maison Bernat is very cozy, very nice place to stay.
So that is your preferred option if you're going to spend just one night. Do you consider, Francisco, that spending a couple of nights in the place is a little bit too much? Or because you said earlier that there is some trails that you could go if you're not making the Camino, it could be worth, just if you love nature and going around, do you consider it could be worth staying at least a couple of nights?
If you are a hiker, yes, definitely yes, because it's beautiful. I mean, that part and the Pyrenees is very beautiful and everything is very well marked. So you will not get lost.
Good. Perfect. All right. Well, so now we're going to stay. Well, let's put it, you know, that we are just enjoying our places and we have decided ahead of time that we're going to spend a couple of nights there. So we know where to stay. And of course, where do we have to go and eat? What would you recommend? And if you know something about the local gastronomy, that would be also great.
Okay, if you want to eat, I really recommend you to try, if people are trying to go to Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port, try to make it on a Monday. Mondays is market day, okay? All year round, you have the market on a Monday. Plus, if you go from June to September, they also have the market on Thursdays.
Okay? Uh-huh. Also, and, besides the Mondays, you have Thursdays. Mm-hmm. Really?
Thursdays. Mondays and Thursdays in the summer. The thing is that it is a real shepherd market, and they bring all their goods, all their really, really, really amazing vegetables, incredible cheeses. Okay, here the local cheese is, we have different ones, but two that I love. One is the cheese of Brevi, and the other one, Oshoa Irati. Irati is those, both of them are from sheep milk, very tasty, very, 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 very good.
You know, Francisco, I've been there so many times. I've never been the coincidence that I've been in a market today. And that sounds fantastic. I mean, those farmers going around with the local products. Do you have a chance to eat there somehow what they are selling or just around the
market? That's my favorite thing to do. In the market, you can have bread, you can have buy wine, you can buy cheese, you can buy prosciutto, you can buy fruit, foie gras.
Wait. Now you said the word here, prosciutto. You're talking about ham, right?
Yes, jambon de Bayonne.
Exactly, jambon de Bayonne. Perfect.
But for our listeners, prosciutto. Yes, all of these goods, you can buy them right there, and there are beautiful parks around, benches. It's a great, great thing. If you try to make it on a Monday, really, you're not going to regret it because you cannot buy more fresh goods. Okay? If you want to splurge a little bit yourself, and hey, I'm going to have a good meal. The best restaurant in town that I love is Les Pyrénées. Okay? The Pyrenees, it's called. You need to book in advance because they have one Michelin star. It's not too overpriced, but really the food is super good. The chef makes with local products, innovative cuisine, but respecting tradition. I think it's one of the best. You know, there are some Michelin star restaurants that they go crazy. And yes, they're very fun, but you don't eat food. In this one, in Les Pyrénées, you eat food. It's one of the ones I like.
What do you mean you don't eat food in Michelin stars?
I mean, when you go to these fancy restaurants, you eat a sphere of air concentrated with sunshine. I was like, oh, hell, I want food.
Okay, right.
You know what I mean.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. So Les Pyrénées is really your splurge. You know, yes, it's a little bit overpriced, but it's worth it. If you're into sweets, they do have cannelles. The cannelles, if you have traveled, they're original from Bordeaux, but Bordeaux is very close. So they do very good cannelles. Cannelles are like a madeleine, like muffin, but it has like little pikes into it. The texture is a little different. It has nothing to do with a muffin, but it's one of the traditional sweets from there. And it's very, very good. The best place to buy it, it's called La Fabrique du Macaron, which is the fabric of macaron, right? They do have macarons, the original macarons, not the La Macaron de la Durée, all of these fancy things. No. But the cannelle, they are super, super good. Super sweet, by the way.
Okay, so we have the market. That's you said that you can buy things and make a picnic somewhere. You have this fancy restaurant around. But obviously, if we're going to spend a couple of nights, it's going to be lunch and dinner. So, Francisco, we have mentioned already that there are trails and you love places because of nature. I guess that there might be neighbors, towns around that you could, in those cafes that you do, that you can have your lunch or dinner. Is there any idea? Do you have any idea of those little places around that's worth visiting and also eating the things in the place?
Yes. I mean, that's why I say that I really recommend you to come by car, because then you can go to see the other little villages around. One of them is called Itxasu, Itxasou, Itxasu. And there it's tiny little place, beautiful, cozy village. And they have a great restaurant called Le Fronton, Fronton. Okay. And this restaurant is magnificent because you have a great window overlooking the Pyrenees. It's, beautiful. And it's not so expensive. Okay. So it's a really, really, and it's like 15 minutes drive from Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port. then you can go to one of the most beautiful villages in France. You know that in France they have a guide of the most beautiful villages in France, the plus belle village de France. One of them is Ainhoa. Beautiful, beautiful. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous little town. Another one that is very close to Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port, it's called Espelette. Maybe our listeners have ever heard about the poivron d'Espelette, the pepper of Espelette. A little bit spicy, all comes from Espelette.
So, Espelette is a pepper, right?
Yes, but it's given by the name of the village.
Uh-huh.
So the all village right. of Espelette is like 20 minutes drive from Saint-Jean. So really, there are a lot of villages that you can go around. And, you know, there are great restaurants, there's very, very good things to do around as well in Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port. But if you are in Saint-Jean, what you have to do, it is walk the Camino de Santiago. Right? There's one road, it's one street, it is the backbone of the city. Okay, you go all the way from the gate of St. James, right, the beginning of the Camino de Santiago, and you just have to go down, 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 all the way to the river La Nive. All the way from the beginning to the end of the village, it's very short. You can go all the way to the citadel on the top of the village. It's a citadel, as you can imagine, with so many wars coming in and out of Saint-Jean. There has been a lot of defensive, so there's a beautiful Vauban-style citadel all the way in the top. And if you start going down, you see the little villages, you see the hostels for the pilgrims, you find the Fabrique de Macaron, all of this is in the same street, okay? Once you go all the way to the bottom of the village, you see on the left, you will see the big, beautiful church worth coming in and checking the back of the church, because you're going to find some balconies, okay? That was the way to make the church larger. They couldn't construct a larger church. So what they did when population grew, it was put some balconies so people could go all the way up there. And something that I really think is interesting in Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port, it's that right across from the church, I mean, right opposite to it, you find a great spice shop. Why? I think it makes a lot of sense. The thing is that the Camino de Santiago today...
Wait a minute, Francisco. You're talking about a church, the Camino de Santiago, the Citadel, and now you're mentioning spices?
Mm-hmm. It makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
Let's think about it. Okay.
Okay.
When you walk in the Camino de Santiago, you're going to be 40 days, 35 days, 30 days walking, and your credit card is going to go chicking, chicking, chicking. Well, and that's today. In Middle Ages, obviously, they didn't have chicking. They didn't have credit cards. So what they needed, it was money. But money was too expensive because they didn't have paper bill. They had coins. How many coins do you need? Way too many. So in the Camino de Santiago, they needed to find something that weighs barely nothing, but has a lot of value. And those were spices. So in the Camino de Santiago, people were trading spices for food, spices for lodging, spices for doctors. Okay, a pepper ball could give you, you know, food for you and your horse. Let's not talk a little bit of cinnamon. Let's not talk about vanilla. All of these spices, you can today buy them right in front of the church of Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port, which I think it makes sense because it is really the place where all of these spices cross the Pyrenees from Africa to Europe and from Europe all the way into Spain.
Well, let's inform here our listeners that before the money became as a currency in coins, the main and the most valuable thing to trade around, it was spices. So, yes, you're right, Francisco. It makes sense that it's still there, a shop about the spices.
If you do your shopping of spices, you cross under this beautiful arch and you see the River La Nive, which is the perfect Instagram picture, okay? If you go, especially there are like two bridges, if you go to the other bridge, okay, and you take the picture of that bridge, that is the Instagram perfect picture.
Francisco, let us know also about going down from the Citadel to the church and the spices shop that you mentioned. I know that there is a TI on the right-hand side going down the slope, and that is where you can get the credential for the Camino. We have talked in previous podcasts here that when you decide to do the Camino, it's not that you have to do it in one go. I mean, you can make it in several stages, but isn't there a good chance to get yourself the credential in that TI? And also let us know what the credential is for, or what is the purpose of that, please.
What you're talking about really is not 100% a TI. It's not a tourist information point. The TI of Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port is in the parallel street where the cars go by. That's the official TI. This other TI that you're talking about is the TI for pilgrims. This is a place where all the pilgrims can go there and they get all the, not just touristic information, but all the main information for their Camino de Santiago.
So it's just a TI specifically for the Camino.
Exactly. It's a TI just for the Camino. It's not for history or anything about the city. It's just Camino thing. And they will tell you about everything you need to know of the whole Camino. There is a place where you can buy the credential. The credential is a pilgrim's passport. When you become a pilgrim and you walk the Camino de Santiago, you are going to have this passport that is going to tell you where you are today and where you're walking tomorrow. And you collect all of these stamps. All of those stamps, what they're going to get you is that if you go to a hostel, a pilgrim's hostel, you need to prove you are a pilgrim. And this credential is what is going to prove you that you are a pilgrim. If you go to a restaurant and they have a pilgrim's menu, which is much cheaper, you need to prove that you are a pilgrim. How do you prove it? With this credential.
So, in a way, it's kind of landmarks along the line of all the Camino where you can get that stamp placed in that so-called passport for the Camino. And what happens when you have all those stamps and you finish the Camino?
When you finish the Camino all the way in Santiago de Compostela, what they give you, it's what it's called La Compostela, which is the forgiveness of all your sins.
Okay.
You count from zero.
So you can start sinning again.
Okay, start sinning again. There we go.
Okay, so now we know that that TI there is specifically just for the Camino, and that is the place that you can get it. And as we have mentioned a few minutes ago, you don't have to do the whole thing in one go. You may be there for a few days and do part of it, and then maybe in a couple of years, 3 years, 4 years, or when you retire, you decide to do the whole thing. That is the perfect way to have it in advance.
There we go. Exactly. You don't need to walk the whole Camino to ask for it. It's quite cheap. It's 2-3 euros.
Well, Francisco, I'm curious now about your tour of the Camino that you're offering in your webpage that we'll let everybody know, which is the one in a few minutes. Do you provide that credentials to your tour members in your tour?
Yes. I mean, at the beginning of the tour, as we are going to be in all the Camino de Santiago, yes, we're not going to walk the whole thing. But the parts that we're going to be walking, you can get in the churches, in the restaurants, in the hotels, you can find your Camino de Santiago stamp. Because most of these places, lodges, restaurants, they have an official stamp of the Camino de Santiago. So what I do is I get one of our tourists, the credential, and they can ask for the stamps everywhere they go.
It sounds also like a nice little souvenir if you're not a believer or whatever, or you're just doing it for fun. Sounds like a nice little souvenir.
I think it is. I think it's a great souvenir because that way, you know, you remember where you put it. And I think it's a great, great, great souvenir.
Perfect. Well, everything sounds really interesting, very pretty, the landscaping that you have mentioned regarding the Pyrenees, which is also the natural border between Spain and France and all the areas around the Bay of Biscay, very close. And as everybody knows, that Francisco is offering his tour for next year, and it's on his webpage, which is travelingsteps.es. There you can find the dates and the itinerary and everything.
There we go. Thank you, Jorge. Yes, we will be covering all the Camino de Santiago. Obviously, we'll do it by bus. We're going to do it much shorter. We're not going to take us 34, 35 days. And we're going to be stopping in Pamplona, in Burgos, in León, Santiago de Compostela. And we're going to be walking little parts of the Camino. Not every day, but most of the days, we'll walk parts of the Camino de Santiago. So it's a very fun, entertaining, and culturally immersive type of tour.
Perfect. So, guys out there, now, if you wish to do this just as a another adventure in your life. You know already that we have mentioned, we're going to repeat it right now, travelingsteps.es. That is Francisco's webpage, and that is where you can find information and also the itinerary for his tour. Well, Francisco, I think that unless you tell me that I'm wrong, I believe that everything that people need to know how to get there and what to do in around Saint Jean de Pied-de-Port is already mentioned, isn't it?
I think we are done with Saint Jean.
Well, okay, guys. Remember that if you want to reach us, Francisco or me, just go to the Instagram or Facebook and find Spanish Loops, or go to Google and Google Spanish Loops Podcast. We are there if you want to follow, and please don't forget to subscribe. That is also very helpful.
Thank you very much. And if you want to share with your friends about us, we will be very grateful. Jorge, thank you very much. I shall see you next week. Hasta la vista. Adios, amigos.
Adios, chicos. We want to thank all our listeners for being there every week, letting us sharing our talks.
Follow us on Spanish Loops on Facebook, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and your favorite platform.
And in Instagram, you can find us as The Spanish Loops Podcast, no spaces, all together. If you want to find us the quickest way, just Google Spanish Loops Podcast. You will find us. Hasta la vista, amigos.
See you next week.